This is podtech.net, and I'm Kip Meekum. We're speaking today with Will West, winner of the Ernst & Young 2006 Master Entrepreneur Award and President CEO of Salt Lake City-based Control 4. Will, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Very nice to be here.
I first met Will at this year's Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist awards banquet held in Salt Lake City, where he received a special Master Entrepreneur Award. And the master of ceremonies described you as having mastered the art, and then he paused and said, or illness, of entrepreneurship. You've had multiple entrepreneurial achievements and are clearly described as a serial entrepreneur who has raised over $200 million in private capital for previous ventures in the wireless and wired broadband spaces with the iBond venture, and then with Fast in the high-end home automation space. So, is it true that this distinction makes you the largest private capital raiser in the state of Utah?
Well, I think the answer is probably yes. I don't keep track of necessarily what other people have raised in the state. There are reports that come out about how much is raised in total in the state, and there are deal flow reports and so forth. And there was a period of 5 or 6 years where I know that I was probably 10 to 15% of the total capital raised in the state. Whether or not that's the most, it's a lot. A $250 million in Utah's in venture capital money is a lot of money. I should say that most of that money hasn't come from within Utah, because until recently, really, Utah's venture capital community has been in a fairly nascent state. There have been very few venture capital companies that have been active in the state. We started with Utah Ventures, which has now become UV Partners. But their early funds were not very big, and the other venture capital companies, UV Partners has certainly grown, but the other venture capital companies have only come on the scene here in the last few years in a big way. So most of the money that I've raised has come from Silicon Valley and
out of state sources.
That's right.
At the awards banquet, you said that the best thing that you had done was to pick your partners well. Talk about that and about the key success factors in succeeding as a technology entrepreneur in the state of Utah.
Well, one of the things that I think you need to understand to be successful as an entrepreneur, and by the way, successful at raising money, is understand not only what you do well, but what you don't do well. The investors, I think, appreciate an entrepreneur who comes to the table recognizing where the gaps are so that there can be appropriate focus in filling in those gaps. Before even getting to that stage, though, there is the process of picking a partner, and you need to make sure that you're filling your biggest gaps. Well, my biggest gap is that while I understand technology, I am not a double E. I'm honestly not the creative genius that my long-term partner, Eric Smith, is. He is an amazing guy. When I first partnered with him, he was in his early 20s, working through school, focused much more on entrepreneurial activities than he was even on
his schooling.
On his schooling.
No surprise.
I'm sure he did fine with his schooling, but he cared much more about writing his code at home and building circuits and so forth. And
Smitten early
and just a genius. I mean, a really amazing, amazing guy. One of the few people who understand capacitors and resistors and circuits and the hardware side, but also a deep understanding of software and code and where that world is going, and has a very strong ability as a salesman. In fact, he is out on the road right now on what we call a 4 Success Tour. It's really a roadshow for our new software release. And of the 150 people in our company, he is probably best suited to stand up in front of crowds of dealers and installers and sell this pitch.
Give them the
because
pitch.
He is incredible. I mean, he's a guy you can get on a plane and fly across the ocean with, and he'll be talking 100 miles an hour. Talk, 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 talk. Very fast. really rapid fire. And you'll get to the other side of the ocean, and you're still fascinated,
and you still want more.
You're not saying just shut up. You really want more, because he's just fun and interesting.
I've seen him demo, so I get a sense of what you're talking about.
He's very good. So he's not only been the reason for the successes that we've had at various companies, but he's a real pleasure to work with. And you know, we've had other very good partners along the way as well. Eric and I have partnered with, here at Control 4, Mark Morgan, who helped a great deal in the design of our products. And at the last company, Brett Mullen was our partner and founder in starting STSN, which is now IBON. And so we've been very fortunate. I've been very fortunate with partners, and I would say Eric and I have also been very fortunate. So I try and keep the sort of business issues in line and keep the company moving forward, and Eric takes care of all the hard stuff, you know, making sure that we have really incredible products.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. We mentioned the Control 4 experience, where you're president and CEO today. Talk about how that fits into this entrepreneurial continuum you've gone through and what your past experiences and successes really mean to the success vector that Control 4 is on.
Well, when you speak in terms of an entrepreneurial continuum, the reason the MC at the Ernst & Young trade show referred to it as an illness is because I'm sure I referred to it in the interview that they did with me prior to the event. I referred to it as an illness or a genetic disorder because, you know, why would you do this again?
Why would you do this to yourself over and over?
Even, you know, being an entrepreneur is certainly the best of times and the worst of times. There's nothing better than seeing your baby take off and really, you know, find traction and success and lead the market. And Eric and I have been fortunate now 4 times in having our companies grow to that market leader position. But there are also some really hard times. I mean, if I look back at STSN, you know, there were times when we were working through the bubble bursting, followed by 9/11.
Kind of a last man standing.
We went through some really tough times. And, you know, I remember laying off 150 people 2 weeks before Christmas. And you're not just laying off 150 people. You're laying off 150 families who are going to be trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet, you know, while they're trying to give their kids Christmas presents. And, you know, it doesn't get a lot lower than that. That's a really bad place to be. So, you know, why would you ever do it again? And I can assign it to nothing other than a disease or genetic disorder or some kind of
OCD.
Character flaw. Yeah.
But the highs are worth it.
The highs are really wonderful, and it's hard for me to think of being satisfied doing something else.
Anything else. You take an experience like that and probably would do everything that you could to avoid having to repeat it. And I think that inures to the success vector for the company that you're with today.
Well, the good news is for us at Control 4 is that we've been on a very rapid upward path, and as far as we can look into the future, it's all you know, that upward slope continues, and really our success is dependent on our ability to keep up with the demand and operationally execute on what's ahead of us. And that's a fun place to be. It's hard if you're trying to figure out where the demand is going to come from. We don't have that problem. It's simply a matter of fulfilling what our customers are asking for us and what we are all about doing anyway. So
doing it as quickly and economically and to scale as you can.
Exactly. You know, when you've got, you know, big boxes and multi-billion-dollar companies trying to pull you faster, you know, we've got one case where there's a huge customer. I mean, Think in terms of 100 billion rather than billion. Very, very big customer who we have continually tried to say no to, who continually won't let us say no.
Comes back.
You know, and the scary thing is not that there's not demand. The scary thing is, can we really execute and can we really grow and scale and meet those needs?
And not be swallowed or eaten alive in the process.
Right. Yeah, they're good challenges, but... challenges nonetheless, but they're fun challenges to have. So at Control 4, we've been fortunate to avoid some of the really hard, ugly times so far. But
knock on wood,
a lot
not
of work
so many
still
dark
ahead.
Days.
Yeah, a lot of work,
but lots
still
to
ahead.
Go. Well, you've spent a lot of time, Will, in applying your resources and your efforts not only in these ventures, but in nurturing the business community in Utah. You serve as chairman of the board for the Utah Capital Investment Corporation, and also as chairman of the board for UTA, the Utah Technology Council, formerly UETA.
UTC.
UTC, yeah, thanks. And what does all of that extracurricular involvement do for you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think in terms of what does it do for me. I think more...
That sounds kind of selfish, and I'll recouch that. I mean, why do you do it when there's clearly so much on your plate?
Because I think we should. I think it's good for all of us. I think it's interesting. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Let's just take the Utah Technology Council as an example. I love the interaction with the other technology companies. I think Rich Nelson, who runs the Utah Technology Council, is an entrepreneur in and of himself. I mean, it's an industry organization, which doesn't sound very entrepreneurial, but I can tell you that 6 years ago, that organization was on the ropes and at real risk at going away. And he has turned that thing around and created an organization that is not only strong by reputation, but financially rock solid. And it's entirely because of his leadership and his entrepreneurial drive and tenacity to make it happen and make it work. So I've enjoyed that interaction, but just the interaction with all the other technology companies and learning from the CEOs. One of the things I really enjoy with the Utah Technology Council is the CEO peer-to-peer forums, where we get together and we try and learn from each other, and we talk about sales or marketing or raising money or the favorite session that we seem to do about once a year is called Train Wrecks, where we talk about our how we've screwed up. And it's just a blast. They're private sessions.
This is CEOs only,
the content of the conversation stays in there. Yeah, it's an opportunity for people to be just completely candid about the mistakes they make. And there's no better learning environment than to hear people talk about how they've messed up. And I really enjoy that. The Fund of Funds, I think, is changing the landscape of the venture capital world in Utah. We have huge numbers of quality venture capital companies that want to do business in Utah now because of the Fund of Funds. There's no question that it's changing the landscape. The Utah Science Center Foundation, which is creating a science museum downtown, the old library. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I've read about it.
If you've been to the Exploratorium in San Francisco or the Science Museum in Boston, or Utah has nothing like that. And we need to make a statement that, as we're trying to recruit people in or companies in or whatever, we're trying to do, it's valuable for us to, or even just educate.
To fire the imagination.
We need something like that. And I am excited to, I don't really help much, but to the extent I am allowed to be involved, I appreciate the opportunity to serve on that board. So the problem, or the question, I don't think, isn't why do I get involved with these different things, but I just wish I had more time to get involved in more things like them, because they're just rewarding. It's just enjoyable to see things that are changing our local environment for the better. It's a lot of fun.
Last question for you today, Will. If you could go to lunch with any three people in the world today to pick their brains or just to get to know them a little better for an hour, who would those people be and why?
Well, I suppose if I were to pick three people today, I think one person on that list, and I'm a little embarrassed to say it, is probably Bill Gates. Not because of Microsoft, not because of what he's doing now at Microsoft, but because he is a man with nearly unlimited resources that has had the luxury of taking all of that information and resources and trying to look into the future to figure out what's coming. And I would love to pick his brain to find out what he thinks is coming. I remember 7 or 8 years ago, he was talking about how it wasn't going to be long before we had single devices that were, that was our phone and our calendar and our wallet, and it kind of was the only thing we'd need to carry around. Well, clearly we can see that, you know, PDAs and smartphones have taken a lot of the functions that used to require a briefcase.
And roll them all into one hand.
And how long is that before it actually becomes the wallet and so forth? I don't know. Maybe not long. But I'd be really interested to pick his brain and know more about what he thinks about when he goes on those week-long retreats and he's undisturbed and he's by himself all week. What does he think about? Another person I'd be very anxious I would look forward to with just great anticipation is the president of our church. So if I could sit down, I'm LDS, and if I could have lunch with Gordon B. Hinckley, that would just be a blast. I would be resting on every word. I would expect it to be entertaining, funny, enjoyable, upbeat, and important, because he is a man to whom I look for real insight on what's truly important.
Has great understanding.
Has great understanding, and a great sense of humor.
Yes, very engaging. Very engaging.
So I would put him on the list.
Not your typical church leader.
Not at all. And not your typical 96-year-old in general.
Yeah, to boot, that's true.
So, an amazing guy. The other one that I would choose to go to lunch with is not so much a one person or even this is sort of make-believe. But if I could be in a make-believe world, I would choose to go to lunch with my kids 30 or 40 years from now. You know, the great news is my wife and I are going to hopefully grow old together, and we'll know each other and love each other and be companions for each other for many years to come. And I know my wife well enough, I think, to know that she's a solid person and always will be. I certainly have confidence in my kids, but you know, one of them is 1 year old, another one's 3 years old. You know,
not enough data.
There's
that
not
you
a
don't
lot of data
wonder.
There, right? What kind of person will they be? And I believe they'll be good people, but still, what kind of person will they be? What will they do? Will they feel good about themselves? You know, will they be well cared for? If I could be in that dream world, I would go to lunch with my kids.
Will West, Ernst & Young 2006 Entrepreneur of the Year, Master Entrepreneur. Thank you for the podcast.
Thank you very much.